Well, the IRS is coming after all you tax avoiders out there who decided not to pay your taxes. You know, there's a big movement right now in the United States, people saying, I'm not paying my taxes anymore. The United States government has failed us. They're sending, you know, hundreds of billions of dollars to Ukraine and Israel and all of these other countries and wars around the world. Our infrastructure is falling apart. Our southern border is an absolute mess and we're being invaded and we're going to pay our taxes. Congressman, who gentleman running for Congress out of Michigan, Anthony Hudson, I just spoke to him last week in an interview, and he said, yeah, I'm leading a movement. Stop paying your taxes. Stop paying your taxes right now. So we'll see how this goes, because how is the IRS going to enforce this? How are they going to go after millions of Americans who say enough is enough? Well, we'll see if this movement catches ground. But right now, the IRS, over the past few days, on February 29th, has announced a new round of a new plan to go after those who are not paying their taxes, specifically 125,000 cases of taxpayers with annual incomes over $400,000. Does that sound like you? If it is, and you didn't file a tax return between 2017 and 2021, the IRS is coming after you. They've sent out notices, and they were tipped off by various people of third-party information indicating that these taxpayers received taxable income but failed to file a tax return. So people are snitching on them. I think that's what the IRS basically says here, that people have been snitching on them. Information on these taxpayers indicates a total financial activity of over $100 billion. If you think about the amount of enforcement effort that's going to take to bring in $100 billion into the government, I hate saying this, but they literally just sent over $100 billion to Ukraine. So they're going to go after American taxpayers now for back taxes. And that won't even cover the amount they've already sent to a foreign country to carry out a war. I mean, think about the hypocrisy. I mean, it's just unbelievable, right? And they said, even with a conservative estimate, the IRS believes hundreds of millions of dollars of unpaid taxes are involved in these cases, according to the IRS. So this is known as CP-59 notices. So look in your mail. You might be seeing some of these notices hitting your mailbox if you have not filed your taxes. We're going to see what the IRS does here. But hey, today's our Q&A episode where you guys leave us a voicemail question about any investment questions you have, whether it's real estate, whether it's gold, silver, just the economy in general, and we will attempt to answer it here on the show. You can come over to our website, which is morrisinvest.com. We're a full-service real estate company. That's what we do. So we build brand new construction rental properties, and then our clients buy them. And they own them 100%, and they receive all the cash flow for many, many years to come for as long as they own the property. That's what we do. So we also provide this. We do these podcasts once a week as well. So anyway, you can leave there's a little microphone icon on the right side of your screen. Click that and then leave us a voicemail question, and we will answer it here on the show. So our first question today, I think, comes to us from Kathy.
Hi, Clayton. My name is Kathy from San Diego, and I always enjoy listening to you to get knowledge in investing. I will retire in 5 years, and me and my husband own 2 single-family homes in Memphis, Tennessee. Since we both have W-2 jobs, we can only write off $25,000 per year for our real estate. What should we invest in next? My husband will retire in 6 months, and we were thinking of moving money into a self-directed IRA. Thanks so much for your suggestions. Have a great day.
Okay. So, well, I guess, again, I'm a big fan of the self-directed IRA as long as it's coming from another retirement account. I'm not a big advocate of just from the ground, you want to start investing. So you just open a self-directed IRA and you start buying rental properties. Like, that's not what I'm not a big believer in that. But I think if you have an existing IRA or you're leaving your job with an old 401k and you want to convert it and move it to a self-directed account, that's powerful. Absolutely powerful. And I've done that myself. And I think there's beauty in that because you're not starting from scratch, right? You're only allowed to put in a certain amount per year under the IRS, under the law, right? To make contributions. So you can't this account can't go from zero to like 200,000. You can't do that, right? You can only make a certain amount per year. Roughly, I think, forgive me if I'm wrong. They change these every year. And I don't know, during COVID, they changed it like 17,000 or something like that. We'll put it in the description, the exact amount, just to be safe, but for a couple and for individuals. So you can only, put in a certain amount. Anyway, my point is, if you're rolling it over, great. That's wonderful. And then, yeah, use that because now you can grow tax-free until, well, you're retiring, but so retirement age. But yeah, it's a great strategy. But, you know, because you're at retirement, you may not even want to do that. So that's totally up to you. Again, your strategy. For me personally, though, I would be looking at how can my husband, who's no longer an employee with a W-2 paycheck, how can I ask him to become a real estate professional under the tax code? Because now that's a totally different ballgame. My mother-in-law, for instance, who recently retired, she worked in the title business for Fidelity National Title. She retired and then because she has a W-2 employee, she couldn't qualify as a real estate professional under the tax code. So she was paying way much more. Her tax liability is way higher. When she became a real estate professional, which doesn't mean getting your real estate license, you don't have to become a realtor or anything like that. You just have to devote over 750 hours per year, and there's specific requirements, but it's that's just a few hours per week that you're working on real estate. And so how can he become a real estate professional now that he's retired? He won't be competing with this W-2 job, and now it's going to totally change your investment strategy because now you're in a totally different tax bracket. And now you're becoming an active investor, not a passive investor. Again, that changes with the IRS. You're going to be saving a boatload in taxes. If you think about how to start getting him up and running as a real estate professional this year, so you can really try to hit that 750 hours in this calendar year and register as a real estate professional. I'd be having those conversations with my tax attorney and my tax accountant right now, Kathy. And then I think just rinse and repeat. You know, it sounds like you've got some great investments. Then just continue to buy single family homes. That's what I do. And don't go off on some crazy other strategy. You know, single family homes, our team would be happy to help you in Texas. That's where the bulk of our properties are being built. They're brand new construction. Our team will hold your hand through the entire process. If you're interested in talking with our team, we'd be happy to help you. But if you're going to do it on your own and you want to hire contractors and do all that yourself, great. But I just think keep doing what you're doing. But I would talk to your accountant about this real estate professional tax status for your husband. I think it could be totally transformative and save you a ton of money. Next question comes to us from Richard, I believe.
Hi, Clayton. How are you? Richard from Perth, Australia. Just a quick question. If I was to invest in housing in the US, what is the best way to go about it? What's the best financial incentive, loans, etc., to invest in the US, being an Australian dollar, US dollar, banking, etc.? So that's my little question for you. Cheers. Thank you.
Okay, so we've worked with a lot of Australians over the years who've invested in the United States. Now, the Australians that I've worked with, they had to jump through a few hoops and hurdles, okay? Anytime you're an international investor investing in the United States, and of course, the reason we worked with a lot of Australians is because real estate in Australia is just ridiculously overpriced. So you cannot get the return on investment in Perth, Australia that you can get in the United States. And so what Richard was asking here is, what is the financial incentive? Well, the financial incentive is the ROI. It's the return on investment. So I would book a call with our team, Richard. We can walk you through that process. We don't work with a lot of international investors because, frankly, it just requires them to take a few extra steps, okay? And those steps can involve you setting up a U.S. bank account, setting up a U.S. business entity, and then working with a tax strategy that helps you make sure that you're not being double taxed and all of those things. So, yes, it takes some balls, I'll be honest with you. It takes some hard work. So that's why a lot of people don't do it. But if you're, if that's something you're interested in and you want to take those extra steps, it may even require you flying to the United States face to face with a bank and setting up and doing that as well. But I would talk to our team about that to help you in that process. And we can point you in the right direction of the law firm that we work with that can also help you in that regard. Because it may require you to get a residential address. I'm not quite sure. It may just require the business address, and you could set it up with a sort of a P.O. box style business entity address. But again, I don't have all the answers for you on that from the lawyer side and the legal side. All I'm telling you is there's a few different hoops and hurdles you do have to jump through in order to make that happen. But we've worked with a lot of Australians and New Zealanders as well. Thank you for that question. Next question.
Hi, Clayton. My name is Andrea Shadowitz. I live in northeastern Washington by Chewila, Washington, on a lake called Waits Lake. And it's just a big home on a really tiny lot. I need more space. I do like to travel. So I just came back from Cape Town to visit my daughter there, who lives there with her husband and family. They haven't bought a home yet, and they're looking to buy a home. I'm coming into a windfall, and I need to pay off my house. I want to pay off the balance of $94,000. It's a four-bedroom home, so I do rent rooms here, and I make a little bit of money, but it needs a remodel badly. I could easily put $100,000 into this house to get it where I need to get it. My son also, I have grandkids and they're struggling and I want to help them out. And so I'm thinking I'll pay off the house and do my remodels, between my son helping me cause he's a contractor. And then the cash that I have left over, I could also help him and get some land. I have horses. I could keep my horse with him, but anyway, both would benefit me, because I could stay at Cape Town, have a nice place to stay, help my kids. They could get a house. So anyway, what do you think? I definitely want to pay my house off here, though. Thank you. Bye.
Well, it sounds like you've already got your mind set up and made up on that, wanting to pay off your house. And it sounds like you do want to keep that house. Is there a reason? I just want to put this out there for you, because what a lot of people do is they own a home and they get mentally attached to it, emotionally attached to it, but it's not a good rental property. It's maybe not in the best area for rental. You said it's cash flowing a little bit. So it sounds like, okay, are you kind of breaking even with it? Is the ROI there? Make sure that the return on investment makes sense. Make sure that the internal rate of return makes sense for you. Would it make more sense for you to list this house, right? April and May are the best times to list a house. Would it make sense for you to sell it and make a lot of money off of the sale of the house and not have to worry about the remodel yourself? And then take that money, because you've lived there for so many years, you're not going to pay taxes on it, and then invest that money, or take a portion of it and buy rental properties that will cash flow. So these are things to consider. I think people just get emotionally attached to a home that they've had for so long, and they try to massage it to make it make sense, right? They're like, well, it kind of makes some money, but if I put $100,000 into it, then what will it make for you? My question is it cash flowing $1,200 a month right now? Do you think putting $100,000 into this house, it's now going to cash flow $2,500 a month, $3,000 a month? Or is it going to start cash flowing maybe 100 or 200 more than you used to get? Because now it's like a little nicer and you can maybe bump it up 200 bucks. My point is the return on investment there? Would you be better off taking that $100,000? That's two rental properties. That's two down payments on two brand new construction rental properties that you could buy that would cash flow 18% minimum cash flow 18. And I'm only talking about our properties that we do at Morris Invest. And you don't have to work with us at all. I don't care. I'm just saying that's my frame of reference. When anytime I hear in increments of 50 or 100, immediately my brain goes to think $50,000 down payment, financing the rest, and it's cash flowing from day one, and it's in the best school district, and it's brand new construction, and it's an incredible asset. That's something you can hand down to your children, right? That's something that can cash flow and hand down to your grandchildren as well. That's a real asset. Or does it make sense for you to put $100,000 into this house, which needs a lot of work? And is the cash flow really going to be there for you? So I hear you want to pay off the house, but would it make more sense for you to sell the house since you want to move anyway, it sounds like, to be in Cape Town? And when you say Cape Town, I wasn't sure if that's like South Africa, Cape Town, South Africa, or is there a Cape Town in Washington that I don't know about off the top of my head? In that situation, I would maybe highly advise against buying something in Cape Town. You know, you might want to consider just renting, right? And then using the cash flow from your new rental properties that you've bought, because you had this windfall of cash, and now you're living off the cash flow from your properties that you don't have to buy a new place to live in. Because remember, buying a place to live in is not a performing asset, right? No one's paying you to live there. So now you've bought another asset, but it's not a performing asset like a rental property. So I hear what you're saying. You definitely want to pay off the house, but would it make more sense for you to sell it, let someone else do the renovations on it, take that money, and then reinvest it in other performing assets that you don't have to worry about renovations and all of those things that your son's going to have to do and drywall. And I mean, you know, to me, that's a nightmare. So anyway, just my thought, just my question. I'd love to hear your follow-up question. Feel free to leave us another voicemail as you progress and give us an update. I'd love to hear what you decide to do. And maybe if this opened up any ideas for you to start thinking about. That's how I would be thinking about it, though. To me, it's a numbers game. Just don't let emotion get into it. You've had this property for so many years. Are you attached to it and all of that? And that could be the thing that might hold you back from selling it. So let me know your thoughts on that. Thank you, guys. If you want to leave us a voicemail question, you can do so. Go to our website, morrisinvest.com. Click on the microphone icon that's on the right side of your screen. Leave us a question. Try to keep it to like 30 seconds if you can. And we'll try to answer it here on the show. So thanks so much, guys. And we'll see you next time.